Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls. And the Bulls have parted ways with head coach Fred Hoiberg. Seems like kind of odd timing. I think that's maybe the big thing that has Bulls fans kind of interested. Why would you do it now? And I think it's for this reason. I think it's because everyone is coming back healthy. They've decided Fred isn't the answer. And so they really want to see if Jim Boylan is the answer. Boylan was a respected assistant, a guy who definitely seemed like a potential head coach in waiting, or a guy who had that possibility. And so this gives them a nice long look at Boylan with everyone coming back healthy. It's kind of like a fresh start for the team. It's like a good point in time to put him into the head coaching position, where there's probably right about now a pretty natural turnover in how the team is going to go. They should build some natural momentum. And so they're sort of giving Boylan a little bit of jump start with that momentum. And I think that's why the timing is now. But Fred Hoiberg, I think at this point, we probably realized he wasn't the answer. I thought he would play it out to the end of the year. I'm pretty surprised to see him go. I didn't think there was a lot of upside to firing him before this year is over, especially since last year. It's hard for me to really blame Fred for much that went on because the Bulls are really purposefully trying to lose. The 2 years before that, when he's sitting right around 40 wins, you know, I think that was about what I expected of the team based on the talent. So I don't think Fred has done a bad job per se. I think they've won about as many games as I expect them to win each year based on the talent they have. I think this year, probably about the same, to be honest. You know, I'd like to say they have more talent going into this season. I certainly felt they had more talent. But when you're missing Markkanen the whole season except for one game, Dunn the whole season except for one game, Portis almost the whole season, Valentine, he'll be out actually the whole season. These other guys are all going to come back. It's hard for me to sit there and say, well, you're playing Shaquille Harrison, Antonio Blakeney, Ryan Arcidiacono, Cameron Payne. When these guys are all getting minutes, it's hard for me to really sit there and say Fred Hoiberg is the problem. I don't think he's the problem here, and I do think he's a little bit of the fall guy. That said, I don't think anyone is sad to see Fred go. I don't think anyone looks at what Fred had done here and said, wow, this guy is visionary. He's executing in anything special. The team is doing better or worse with him here. So I think it's fine that he moves. I'm kind of ambivalent about it. I don't know that Bulls fans have a much stronger reaction. I do think there is a strong sentiment of a lot of fans out there that Gar Forman and John Paxson should be let go, and that they should not get to pick another head coach. They should not be permitted to do this without them losing their jobs as well. I'm going to say we should separate these two issues out. Now, you all know I'm more or less a front office defender. I generally think the Bulls have a good front office. I understand why they keep them. And I think they're doing an excellent job in this rebuild once they decide to go a different direction with Jimmy Butler. I can't fault what they're doing here at all. I think it's been good. I'm fine with them moving on from Hoiberg and picking someone else. But let's just say that you do think these guys should be out. I think at this point, the fact that they say we're going to get rid of Hoiberg, I don't think this buys them any life or anything like that. I don't think they're pinning any particular blame on Hoiberg, or Michael Reinsdorf is going to say, yep, Hoiberg was the problem. I don't think there's any thought on that. I think ownership is quite aware that the team is tanking, rebuilding, trying to get talent in the draft. So I don't think there's anything real negative about what's going on in that sense. I do think the front office has faith in these guys and is going to stick with them because they think that they'll do a good job. To me, I don't think having X number of coaches is really meaningful at all. It's just whether you're doing your good job or not. I saw a saw a post on the Real GM message forum by Duck3, one of my good buddies, and he mentioned that the Bulls are actually seventh lowest rate in the NBA in terms of going through coaches. Like pretty much every other team in the NBA, or I shouldn't say that, three out of four teams in the NBA, more or less, are going through coaches at a faster rate than the Bulls. So it's not like John Paxson and Gar Forman are just flying through head coaches like crazy. They're actually going through them slower than other people. So I don't think it's one of those cases where they just can't find a decent head coach, or they're just cycling through guys or anything like that. And I think that was an interesting point. I think really what you have to judge John and Gar on at this point is how well they're executing in this rebuild. You know, Fred Hoiberg, good or bad, I don't think it was going to make a huge difference in terms of what's going on here. they've decided they've seen enough to move in a different direction. And I think that makes sense based on what we see in terms of defense does not seem organized. Offense doesn't seem organized. There doesn't seem to be a lot of discipline on the team. So I think for those reasons, it kind of makes sense that you want to move on from Fred Hoiberg. And regardless of, you know, the record, you can tell if a team is coached well or not coached well. You can see that they're doing the things you want to see a team doing or not. And in this case, I think we've all seen enough to say this team does not seem particularly well disciplined. They don't seem to be executing on either side of the ball. You see guys out of position, out of scheme. You see the ball sticking a lot on offense and not moving around. On defense, you see guys out of place all the time. And so for those reasons, I think you can say, yep, we could maybe just try someone else. So beyond that kind of shocking news with Fred, we've got some other big news, which is Lauri Markkanen is back. You know, he's played one game, so not a whole lot. Didn't play particularly well in the game. I want to say he was 4-14 off the top of my head. He gave a little bit of hope in his second shot, drilled a super long three and a catch and shoot. But watching him made me feel like at this point in time, the Bulls aren't going to really change their fate a whole lot with just Lauri coming back. They really struggled even just to get the ball into him. It was hard for him to get his shots up. It was hard to get him touches. Seemed pretty easy for teams to deny him. I think Lauri probably needs to get back into the NBA groove, but he didn't look so comfortable out there in the terms of like moving around and, you know, getting the ball. And it seemed like it was pretty easy for guys to deny him the ball. Maybe they're just they're playing him more athletically, but it seemed the struggle for him to get open and try to really make anything happen. And so I think from this perspective, we'll see where Lauri goes. But I got to be honest. Maybe I had my hopes up way too high. It was only one game. But I was a little disappointed in terms of what we see. So let's hope over the next few games that he finds his stride, gets back into the groove. It's way too early. Just like Chris Dunn came back and kind of had a little bit of a clunker game and then went out. Let's hope that when Chris Dunn comes back, he also plays well. Let's hope Lauri gets, let's give him more than one game before we decide how it fits. But we really need to see him do a lot more for the team than what he did in this one game in order to actually see any impact in terms of the win-loss record. And right now, you got to say, if you're a Bulls fan, the third worst team in the NBA, I don't think you can sit here and look at this team right now and say, you know, you're hoping for lots of wins. We're firmly now back in the tank bandwagon. I'm disappointed that we're there at 5-19. I was certainly hoping that we would be on the aim for the wins and try and get playoffs bandwagon this year. But I think the right thing has basically happened, which is the young guys, to the extent they're healthy, have played. Pretty much everyone is young guys. But they didn't bring in any veterans that have no hope or whatever else. You could maybe argue Jabari Parker. But I think even that was a calculated risk to bring in a guy who had big upside and hope something happens. And so you have all these young guys playing. You didn't bring any veterans. You're going to see if the team improves based on these guys. If they play well and get you wins, you're okay with it because it means your young players are doing well. If they don't get you wins, then you're going to get another prime pick in the draft. I think realistically the Bulls have to hope for a top four pick based on my really early reading of the draft. It's about four players deep, so we'll see how that also goes as the season goes on. People still feel that is true or whether they don't think it's true. And so now it's been a while since I've done a podcast. Hopefully you're catching me on the Big Red Bus. I'm over there as well. But give a couple of thoughts and some other things going on with the team. So Denzel Valentine out for the year. I don't know. That's you certainly wish the guy played so you could take a look at him. I think with Valentine being out for the year, you pretty much are almost writing the book on this guy. He was a guy who had injury problems coming into the league. He was a guy people thought might wear down coming into the league. Has not, you know, been able to stay healthy. And I think at this point, you got to be pretty concerned that you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of him. He'll be in a contract year next year, which maybe means you get a little bit of a boost out of him next year. That frequently happens with guys in contract years. But as an older rookie, a guy who maybe didn't have a whole lot of upside over his present ability level compared to other players, Valentine hasn't yet produced at a level that you can be super excited about. So we can see what happens. Definitely a loss in terms of the depth because the Bulls could certainly use Valentine just based on the other guys playing. But it will give Chandler Hutchison a chance to play, get more minutes than he would have otherwise. I think based on Hutchison's play so far, had it not been for the injuries. He's a guy who maybe wouldn't be playing a whole lot as it is. He's not really progressed and done a whole lot. So we'll see if this opportunity, which will basically be thrust upon him for the rest of the season, a chance to get minutes, is something that he can take advantage of in the long run. His three-point shooting has been particularly poor. Not that he's hoisted up that many shots, but he'll need to improve there. Two-point percentage, okay, but again, not hoisting up enough shots to make a difference. Does have some impact on defense and on the glass. Overall, I think the guy just needs a little more time, but he's not played at a particularly high level to date. In terms of other Bulls, pretty excited to see Ryan Arcidiacono kind of look like an NBA player. He definitely, to me, looks like a guy who could maybe stick on this roster for another season as a third point guard, possibly even a backup point guard if you were able to get a really good starting point guard. I don't think Chris Dunn is a good enough starting point guard that I'm excited to have Arcidiacono as my backup. The one thing I find interesting, a lot of the times they have Diacono out there, when Zach LaVine is out there at the same time, you end up having sort of a Jordan Paxson situation, the ultra poor man's version of Jordan Paxson, which is even though Jordan is playing shooting guard, they just get the ball in his hands and Paxson would be out there to spread the floor and shoot the ball and just kind of impact the game that way. You see the same thing with Arcidiacono. Even though he can come up and play point guard and bring the ball up and down the floor, basically just makes really safe passes. When the other team wants to just kind of take the ball out of his hands, he really struggles just to get the ball up and down the court and really struggles to even just pass the ball. He can really be taken out of the game by an athletic player reasonably easily. So while he does okay at times, shooting the ball at a very high clip, it's hard to get him involved at a particularly high level just because he definitely just seems to overall be lacking in athletic gear that's required to be a better player than he is. He leaves it all out there on the floor, makes a lot of hustle plays. I think that is certainly a positive for the team, to see a guy out there hustling and trying hard on both ends of the court, putting in all that effort, but just does not quite have the physical talent necessary to be more than a backup point guard and maybe not even more than a third point guard. But I do think he's a reasonable guy as long as you're not playing him too many minutes. He can come in, he can be steady. He can, give you good shooting. He can space the floor. He can do some nice things for you. Antonio Blakeney is a guy who's initially started the season a little bit hotter. He's cooled off. His three-point percentage is still very, very good. The problem really is he's not shooting that well from two. His overall shooting efficiency is down. He's not taking enough threes, taking a lot more mid-range jumpers, and taking a lot of really difficult shots. And I think the Bulls need to kind of dial back what he's doing. Get him more three-point shots, make him more of a shooter. This is a guy who maybe could also find a niche, much like Ryan Arcidiacono, if he was playing with better teammates. But it's really tough when Blakeney's on the court. A lot of times, he's really kind of expected to be a guy who can carry the offense, score, throw him the ball, and make something happen. And he's just not that level of a player. If he was a guy you could have space the floor and just punish you, I think he'd be awfully good. And then if you had two or three other really strong offensive players out there with him, I think he could be kind of dangerous off the bounce. Like I said, a guy who might stick in the league somewhere, but probably not more than a ninth man on someone's team. So not a bad find for both these guys who are G League guys, but not guys who are really contributing at a high level. Shaquille Harrison's an interesting one to me. Played pretty well in all aspects of the game except shooting efficiency. Kind of just like another Chris Dunn. He goes out there, he makes a decent amount of things happen, plays with tremendous energy and athleticism and thrust. I really enjoy watching him play. But overall, his field goal percentage, 38% from two, 18% from three. That's just not enough to get it done. You just have to shoot better than that. That said, 4.6 assists and 7.1 rebounds per 36 minutes. 3.7 steals. This is a guy who's really making a lot happen with his hustle and his energy. So definitely play him for a contract, but he's someone you really need to see more from overall in order to stick in this league. He's going to have to give you a little bit more on offense. Another guy who could maybe stick as a third guard somewhere based on some of the skills he has. And that's really the problem with this roster. You've got a bunch of guys who should be the third string players, maybe guys who you found from the G League, you who are NBA caliber players, but they should be your 9th, 10th, and 11th type of players. And they're sitting there filling roles like starting point guard, backup point guard, and backup shooting guard. And they're just too high in the rotation. And I think that's what's really causing the Bulls not to perform particularly well. So it's kind of nice to say maybe you found a couple diamonds in the rough, but I don't think the Bulls really found diamonds in the rough. And these guys, they found, cubic zirconia in the rough or something. Maybe a little bit pretty, but it's not going to break the bank for millions. These are still just guys who are like kind of okay and can move back and forth. And after a year, when we're no longer attached to any of them as Bulls fans, we won't care a whole lot about what happens to them one way or the other. They're not special players. And so when you look at this roster right now going forward, I have to say there's not that many permanent pieces on there. And it kind of makes sense. They're going to have a lot of cap room. They're going to try and change a lot of things. But the Bulls would be so much better if they just got a few average players on this team. When I look at guys who could maybe be rotation players on a decent team, to me, it's probably Wendell Carter, but he's still very young and needs to improve. It's Zach LaVine. It's Lauri Markkanen. And that's maybe it. Maybe Justin Holiday could be a rotation guy towards the back end of a rotation. Maybe Bobby Portis, maybe Chris Dunn. We have to see what they do. Portis had kind of a nice preseason, but was off to a very poor start in the regular season. Chris Dunn only played one game. Don't think he played particularly well in that game, so we'll see what those guys could do. But this is a team that's really missing some talent, and so you have to hope, if you want to see this team do really well, that they knock it out of the park in the draft again, or that they're able to add something pretty reasonably special in free agency. Because right now, this is a team that doesn't have enough depth, it doesn't have enough talent, and so without that, it's going to be very difficult to get more wins going into the future. Final update, I guess, so maybe we'll go with two more. Zach LaVine, watching him play, his three-point shooting has just dropped. It's down to 30% from three, which is very poor. But I'm pretty happy with pretty much everything else I see from him. He's drawing a lot of free throws. Overall, his scoring efficiency is still pretty decent, despite carrying a tremendous load. I think what I've seen from Zach at this point is that he's not good enough to be a number one player, but he's a solid scorer. He can score a lot in isolation. He can still put up volume with lots of teams really double-teaming him and sometimes triple-teaming him every play. And teams are just setting their whole defense against Zach. And he's still scoring at a decent clip, still scoring at decent efficiency, but it's got to be wearing him down. And he's now, you see times where he's tired. He just chucks that three, when he kind of has a little bit of an opening just because he doesn't want to work for a better shot. And it's hard because there's not a lot of other options on the floor with him. So hopefully with Lauri back, we'll see Zach LaVine play a little better when there is another option on the floor with him. Hopefully Lauri is starting in the next game instead of coming off the bench. But we'll have to see how that dynamic plays out because Zach LaVine clearly needs some help out there. He's not going to be able to carry you anything if he's wearing the mantle of number one scorer. That said, paying him $18 million a year, he's not even wearing the mantle of number two scorer. So I think it's okay what we're paying Zach. I still feel good about the contract. Still think it was a pretty good signing. I think you'd easily trade him for value if you wanted to at this point. And I think he's doing a pretty good service for the Bulls. Jabari Parker has been the guy every Bulls fan wants to rip on. It's funny watching Jabari because he looks so awkward out there. He's just an awkward moving guy, doesn't seem to share the ball a whole lot. Not a guy who's getting you a lot of assists, far more turnovers. I was watching the one game against the Suns where he almost got the triple-double. I was at the game with my friend, and we were just, rooting for Jabari to get that triple-double just for the comedy of it, because he's a guy who just would be one of the worst triple-doubles you'd have seen if he had gotten there. Ended up with only 8 assists, so a couple assists shy. Parker, I think he's given you some points, but he's not giving you a whole lot of efficiency, creating mostly in isolation. Not a guy who's great at sharing the ball or having a lot of vision. And again, maybe that's a little bit based on the guys he's playing with, but I think he's a guy who keeps his head down sort of, and really you can tell when he's just going to go and score, and you don't see him really doing a whole lot
to get other people involved. He is shooting pretty good from 2, 51%. Very poor from 3 at 29%. Overall efficiency isn't that great. Not getting to the free throw line nearly enough for the amount of possessions he uses. And I think that overall is what does him in. Still scoring at a decent clip. But I think at this point, if you had it to do over again, you'd probably say, let's just not sign Parker, keep open that salary cap room and try to absorb someone in trade. And if you have to, just, you know, raise up to the minimum and pay all your players more, whatever, and how that works when you share the money out. Because I think at this point, you're pretty certain that Jabari is not going to come back next year at that $20 million price tag. Maybe something amazing happens between here and the end of the season, but it doesn't look all that promising for me on whether that move with Parker paid out. That said, short-term move, team option, doesn't really hurt the Bulls any. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot they're going to do with that money at the deadline if they had it available. I don't see a lot of great options, especially if they wanted to keep cap room available this summer. I didn't want to take any long-term salary. I don't think they're going to go get a first-round pick back for taking a rental for just this season. And so in that case, I think I'm kind of okay still with how that has turned out, even though it certainly looks to me at this point that the risk has failed. And so I think it's a pretty sad state to be a Bulls fan right now, to be honest. You've got this team. They clearly now look like they're in tank zone. You know, I'd say there's not a whole lot of reason to watch except to see what happens with Lowry and Zach for the rest of the season. Chris Dunn, when he gets back, see how these guys develop, see how Wendell Carter continues to develop and see where that goes. But not a lot of incentive. At this point, you should probably be rooting for losses instead of wins and just hoping to get Zion Williamson in the draft next season. I'm Doug Tonis. Those are my thoughts on the Bulls, and I'll catch you guys soon.